so good to see everybody here. No, we had a good feast. I don't have to ask that. Places all over the world we've returned. And we have, most of us, returned now from our respective feast sites, having had, I'm sure, the most enjoyable gathering keeping God's laws and being there and proving that keeping God's laws work. And they work well. Consider, though, that for whatever reason, we lost our way somehow. And as a people, we failed to have access to those life-giving accords for a long time. For a long time. We would be left to our own devices to muddle along as best we could. And we would be suffering the automatic curses of not having that light that lights our path. That law would now only exist in a faint memory in the recesses of our minds, like a ghost haunting us. And then somewhere, somehow, some way, someone finds what is left of an old tattered copy of an Old Testament writings, and he brings the book to what is left of a priest, possibly and maybe the only one left in our time, in our age. He opens the book, and a light goes off in his mind. He reads and absorbs once again the life-giving words of a loving deity recorded long ago. In Deuteronomy 17, verse 18, whenever there was a new king anointed over Israel, the one thing that God made sure the king understood was that he knew the law. In order for him to do this, when he would take the throne of his kingdom, he was to write down for himself in a scroll a copy of this law, the Pentateuch, which was taken from that of the Levitical priesthood. And he was to write it and he was to know it, and know it by heart. Tears fills the eyes of the priest, and he runs to the authority of the day, the leader of a wayward nation, and shows him what was found amongst the ruins of an old church, where once was practiced no more. Sounds strange to our ears? It happened this way long ago. We can read of it in 2 Kings 22. In 2 Kings 22, it's the story of the young king Josiah who ascended to the throne of Judah as a result of the assassination of his father, Amon. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king over Judah. And it says that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of his father David. We can probably assume at only 8 years old, that Josiah had a lot of help ruling, quite possibly from his mother, Jedidah, who was the daughter of Adiah of Bozkath. If the meaning of the word lends any weight to how Josiah was raised, Adiah, meaning adorned by Jehovah, may hold a clue. Josiah's reign comes at a time after Judah had incurred great wrath from God as a result of the sins of Manasseh, who made Judah to sin exceedingly in God's sight. Whenever the two tribes that resulted after Solomon's reign were mentioned, the nation of Israel had a lineage of kings, and the nation of Judah had a lineage of kings. Whenever it spoke of the new king in the Israel lineage, it said, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And his son inherited his place, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And it goes on from evil to worse to bad to worse than bad. In Judah, at least, you would hear that when he inherited the kingdom, every once in a while you would hear he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. May be the reason that Judah hastens it, going into captivity at least 150 years after Israel did. There were a few kings like Josiah that were willing to do what was right, but they had to know what was right. And that was contained within this book. Apparently the people and the servants of Ammon knew his father Manasseh had really garnered God's disfavor, to say the least. When they saw Ammon was to be his father's son, in every sense of the word, they took a hand in the affairs of the nation and slew Ammon and set up his son Josiah to reign in Ammon's stead. And it seems they chose well, for it was in Josiah's heart to restore God's temple along with the worship of God they had so long ago forgotten. In the 18th year of Josiah's reign, word went out that the temple was to be restored from its broken state, and Hilkiah the high priest was to gather money to tackle the task at hand. In the midst of repairing the temple, an old dusty scroll was discovered. Short of tossing it into the trash heap, Shaphan the scribe showed it to Josiah and then read to him aloud from the scroll. When Josiah heard what was contained within the scroll, the word of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. He sent his servants to inquire of the Lord concerning what was in this book, in the book of the law. Now there was at that time a prophetess, Huldah, wife of Shalem. She lived in Jerusalem at the college there. She told them of God's message concerning the book that they had found. She said, God said, tell the man who sent you to me, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and its inhabitants thereof, because you have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods to provoke me to anger with the works of your hands. And my wrath is against this place, and it will not be quenched. It will not be quenched. But say to the king of Judah, because your heart was tender, you humbled yourself before me, I will allow you to die in peace, so that you will not see the evil I will bring. Josiah then undertook an almost complete cleansing of the temple, both spiritually and physically. He had all the idols of Baal destroyed. He cleansed the temple of all the profane items found there. And from what I can understand from history, they were pretty profane. To understand that the children that were taken from the people of Israel were raised in prostitution to serve in the temple, it was almost unthinkable. In this day, it's bad enough, but back then, that's about as far as you can go, you know, in removing yourself from what God had in mind in his own temple. Josiah had these things cleansed and taken out of the temple. And true to his word, God did not bring all the evil in Josiah's time. His time was a time of what the Hebrew word, Nathan, shuv. It's in Strong's Concordance. It's H7723. It's a verb that means return. It was a time of returning, which is exactly what it means. And it's the title of this sermonette. We have returned from a place of remembrance where, as I mentioned, the laws of God was spoken to us, the convention all around the world, keeping God's festival, and gladly we received them. Gladly we received them. The world's time is coming soon when they too will recover the knowledge of the law, a time when they will no longer live under a curse of disobedience, a time when they will return to their Maker and their Redeemer. It's spoken of in the 8th chapter of Zechariah, where God says, He is zealous for Zion. The Lord will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. People will return from the east and the west. We have a song from the Psalms depicting this, a beautiful song of that time. And the Lord then will be as determined to bless as He was to punish in the past. God says to act righteously to one another. Feasting will now become more appropriate than the appointed fast times that we have known. We will have the privilege of being before the people and with them in returning to our God and our Healer. Brethren, may peace indeed return to Jerusalem.